rejoice with all of us. Because also last year, you know, my wife and I, we had COVID. And I remember when the ambulance came for my wife, because we both have underlying, you know, conditions. And I drove behind because I could not stay in the ambulance. They came like in all these Hamzat suits and everything. That was how they came. And so I drove behind the ambulance. My wife came out, but I could not go near. I had to wave her. You know, I just waved and we exchanged, you know, usually I love you and all of that. And I, as I drove back home, I was wondering, because we read of the horrors of COVID, right? I was wondering, there are some families that go in like this and that's it. You cannot go to the hospital bed to do anything. And I just said, Lord, please. And then later on, I came down with it. And our children could not come into the house. Nobody could come into the house. So I'm grateful to God. What I want all of you to do this morning, in worry, they say, off your fridge, off your everything. Could you please turn off notification on any of your cell phones? Put them aside, please. Just for the next few minutes, let's just pay attention to the Lord, not to me. If you're watching anything, just turn them off, please. I just implore you. Let's just give some time to the Lord. If there's any of our young people who is always multitasking, not today. Put all of those aside. Shut down your phone. Don't take anything. Don't look for another scripture to back up whatever somebody is sharing. Let's just take some time to take it in. Is Brother Debo on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Brother Debo, can you read Psalm 90 for us? I don't need the rest of you. I don't want you to open your Bible. Don't turn to your Bible. Just listen. Brother Debo will read Psalm 90, the whole of it for us. Don't open anything. Just listen.
One second, please. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All your days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to your children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Let's continue in prayer. Our dear Father, we bless you. We are thankful to you for some of the testimonies we heard, but I'm sure that there are so many. And so for every one of us, Lord, we just lift our hearts now to say thank you. Could we all just say thank you, Lord? Father, receive our thanks. Receive our gratitude, and evermore increase our ability to show you how grateful we are for your goodness, for your favor, for your grace, for your steadfast love. For that you, O God, you do not harbor anger forever. You know how we are made. You know that we are just dust. So we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. And we thank you for giving us the privilege to be called your children. We thank you for giving us a great champion, a great shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. And for giving us his spirit, the same spirit that now allows us to know you and call you Father. We are thankful to you. This little flock, Lord, that gathers under NCC here in Maryland, we are conscious of your goodness to us. We have sorrowed at some point in the past. We have had anxiety. We have had, Lord, days of stress. But you have also shown us great deliverances. We see our many children who are graduating, who are moving on to another step, who come to us to fellowship, who now lead worship with us. Lord, we see us in our struggles. You're bringing us together. You are uniting the heart of spouses so that the years of quarrel can be resolved, as we learn to forgive one another and to be patient and to be gracious, to follow in these footsteps of our Lord. That he says, if anybody has wronged you, even as Christ forgave you, forgive. That is through your spirit. Father, for that, we are grateful. So we bless you this day. Amen. This morning, we will just continue. It's a meditation rather than a sermon or a preaching. Because from time to time, when we gather like this, we have to take the cue that God is giving us. He is showing us that it is good for us to reflect on what he has done for us. He's giving us instances of what he has done. So we are truly grateful. If you are there and you have a quick testimony, can you put it on the chart? That I too, me too. And there was a Me Too movement, but I was geared towards people who had issues and had suffered oppression and sexual abuse. But we too can join in the testimony of our brethren. I mean, me. I'm part of it. I have a testimony. So could you just put on the chart? I too. I want to have us meditate on the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we all say it together? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a memory verse. That memory verse is from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3. So you say after me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Okay, so we will return to that from time to time. What I want us to do, let's look through the passage in Matthew chapter 6. So while our Lord Jesus was here, he spoke in a way that prophets of old, not even Moses, spoke. He frequently referred to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of the prophets as his father. And in John chapter 1, we are told that as many as received him, he gave them the authority, the right to be called children of God. And he spoke in so many ways about his father, to the point that in John chapter 14, and we can turn to that, in John chapter 14, one of his disciples said, "Can you just show us the Father?" I think they'd heard of the Lord Jesus talk so much about his father. This is how it says it starts. So I'm going to share and meditate, do a meditation on looking at the Lord God, the Father, and God of our, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 14, the Gospel of John, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house," he didn't say God's house, "my father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? In my father's house, there are many dwelling places." That's another translation. He didn't say in God's house, there are many dwelling places. Chinua Achebe said, "There's a difference between that which is ours and that which is mine." I'm sure you all know it. You know, in Yoruba, they say when a mother tells you, "Help me discipline my child," it doesn't come from the heart. Sister Ronki, you know that, right? All right. So there's a difference when you hear the Lord Jesus say, "In my father's house." So whenever people say to me, "You Christians are arrogant. You say there's only one way to God." I say, no, I'm not arguing with you. If where you want to go is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one way. But if you want to go to the God of thunder, or the God of whatever else you want to go to, there may be another way to it. I can't tell you. So I say, you make us to be too. Who do you think we are? We Christians, you make too much of us. Of course, they should make too much of us. If you are talking of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one way to him. If you want to go to the God of Muhammad, there may be another way to that. I don't know. I can't tell you about that. So there's a difference between that which is theirs and which is mine. Jesus says this. So in verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And this is how Jesus put it. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Hear what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say nobody can get to heaven except through me. That's how we sometimes say it, and it's incorrect. even people like Billy Graham and all of these, they mistake this. The destination is the Father. Heaven is not our destination. If that shocks you, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Where we want to end up is in the Father. We can talk about that at another time. So, whoever wants to come to the Father, there's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If they want to go to another place, maybe they say, wait, I really, that's not my concern. If you really know me, you will know who? You will know my Father as well. From now on, look at this statement. You do know him and have seen him. Can we just say that? From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You can actually say I. From now on, I do know him and have seen him. Jesus said, if you really knew, if you know me, then you know my Father. Philip was not yet satisfied. He said, Lord, show us the Father. That would just be enough. If you could just show me the Father, that's all I want. Jesus said, don't you know me? Then he said, don't you know the Father? Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, what are you saying? You're saying, show me the Father? I have been with you for such a long time. If I am the way to the Father, and if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, you've been with me for at least 3 years. So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Let me stop here and say, there are some concepts that just words are not enough to unveil. It has to be experienced. There has to be illumination. You have to have an inward comprehension and grasp. Sometimes those of us who teach or preach from the scriptures, we might make the mistake of thinking the more words we use, the more we try to show the meaning of the words, the easier it is for people to grasp what we're talking about. That is not always the case. It comes to the place where to know the Father requires a revelation, an unveiling, a privileged position that only those who are called the sheep or the flock of Christ can access. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, he also in Luke, they were asking him, Lord, how come you speak in parables? So the Lord said to him, to those who are on the outside, I speak in parables so that they would not understand. But to you is be given the privilege to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You mean the Lord doesn't want everybody to know? To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So if you are a child of God today, can you say with me, to me, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Okay, let's go back to our memory verse. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's our memory verse. Okay, so let's continue reading. Verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Can you hear that? The one doing the work is the Father who is in me. We say, you know, our brother Wale led the prayer meeting yesterday or today. The best way to actually say it is the Father who through his Spirit is in our brother Wale led us in prayer. And as you were praying, that today the speaker will not speak from himself, which is the good prayer, but will speak from God. Yes. So any truth that I am able to, if I'm used to communicate, will come from the Father who dwells in us through his Spirit. So he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. If you struggle to believe just from what I'm saying to you, believe from the work that I am doing. Look at verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than this. It's not a full stop, comma. Because I am going to the Father. You have, you know, some charlatans and comedians who come on the stage prancing and saying, Jesus said we would do greater things than he even did. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what he said. Jesus did not say that Alodia, you know, Bumi, and all of these, you know, Renan Bonke would do more greater things than he himself did. He said this, whoever believes in me, including Femiyo, Josh, Tammy, Tenny, those who believe in me will do the works I have been doing. First, the works he's been doing, they will do that. And they will do even greater things than these ones so far they have seen. Because I am going to the Father. Why does that matter? Because when he goes to the Father, he will release his Holy Spirit upon all of us. So, Brother Babs, Brother Debo, Sister Folake, Sister Shade, all of us, we have this privilege to do the works that Jesus does, and more than when he was here, because he has now gone to the Father and he has given us his Spirit. That should be a source of cheer and a challenge for us to grow in faith. Then he says in verse 13, and look, hear this, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. For one reason, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will do whatever you ask in my stead. And then, yes, you know, some time ago, I was saying, Jesus is not saying that we end every prayer in Jesus' name. That's not what he was referring to. It means to present yourself in the stead of another. And to receive what the backing, the authority, and the stand of that one demands. He said, when you do this, the Father will be glorified in his Son. That the Father will receive prestige, will receive praise, will receive honor on account of his Son's works, which is to restore all things. If you want, you can take some time to stand up and stretch your hand for 1 minute, okay? If you want to, you know, get your understanding a little renewed, I'll soon be done. You may ask anything for anything in my name, and I will do it. Matthew chapter 6. Stand up for 1 minute and stretch. We'll be done here. All right, are you all ready? Matthew chapter 6. We're going to hear some things that Jesus communicates to us about his Father and our Father. He said to his disciples, I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my Father and your Father. I hear people saying, Brother Bumi is my brother, brother in Christ, but this is my blood brother. Oh, I say, okay, now your partiality, now I'm beginning to understand. What do you mean? Are you saying to me that Debo is not my blood brother? How did Debo come to the Lord? He came by the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. What about me? By the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. Are we not blood brothers? I'm asking you now. You can all unmute and say yes or no. Are we not blood brothers and sisters? It's thicker than with my siblings. That's why the Lord Jesus said, Mary and his brothers and sisters, and it was not disrespectful. You better listen to it well. They say your mother and your brothers and sisters are out there waiting for you, wanting to get your attention. And Jesus said, who are my brothers and my sisters? These ones, whoever hears the word of God and does the will of God, that same person is my brother and is my sister. And I thank God because later in the Acts of the Apostles, we see that Mary was among those who were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we have a book called James, Yaakov, who is the brother of the Lord Jesus, and Jude. So they did come to faith. So they are members of the household of God. But I want to close by saying what the Lord taught us. And I want to try and encourage you. Being Protestants or whatever we call it, being non-Catholics, we have lost some traditions that came from the early believers because we are on the watch out for any practice that is in the Catholic Church and we do opposite. One of them is understanding what we call the Lord's Prayer. So in verse 5, the Lord Jesus said this of Matthew chapter 5. Thank you. It's on the screen. It says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by human beings or men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have had their reward. What is their reward? They have been seen by people. That's what they were looking for. They got their attention. But you, when you pray, all of us, when we pray, go into your room or your inner chamber or a secret place or a quiet place. And when you have shut your door, pray to who? Your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So those prayers of ours, those dark moments when our brethren, our sister Kika, our brother Tola, and all of us, as they were groaning, seeking the Lord in their quiet places where no human being could hear them, the Lord has heard and has rewarded them openly, so we can hear those testimonies now. And when you pray, this is where I want to go now. There is nothing more dangerous than going to a Nigerian prayer meeting, a prayer meeting amongst Nigerians. Because you cannot concentrate, you can't pray. You cannot pray. People are telling you what to say to your father. They are making comments. I say, can you just shut up? I want to pray to my father. Don't tell me what to say. Please, can you just keep quiet? You can't pray. They're telling you what to tell. They say this. Can you please stop? I don't say that as a rebuke, but I'm just saying that's how I feel. Let me talk to my father. Don't give me everything. Don't just stop. Don't tell me how to tell the father to give wisdom to the surgeons. If he's going to do that, he might as well just, by the effort it takes God to give wisdom to the surgeons to do the blood, he will use that to just heal me. Stop giving God instruction. Oh, my, I sometimes say, I want to think. Please, I want to pray. I want to talk to my father. We must create silence in our prayer meetings and allow people to hear their father and groan if they want to. Let's just help one another. Please. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. That's what the heathens think, because their gods were deaf. They could not see, they could not hear. Therefore, verse 8, do not be like them. Why? Your father knows the things you have need of. No, let's all say it together. Everyone, unmute yourself. Unmute yourself, even if it becomes a cacophony, I don't care. Let's read it together. Verse 8, everyone, therefore. Unmute yourself, I can't hear you. Therefore, yes. Not be like them. For your father knows the things you have need before you ask him. Let's stop there. Thank you.
Need even before you ask.
If I know that my heavenly father knows what I want to ask before I do, what I need, what becomes me? I don't need many words. Leonard Ravenhill talked about the time he visited A.W. Tozer. He said A.W. Tozer will have a time. He will come into this office. He will tell the secretary to take the day off. He said, I don't have anything to detect to you. Don't take any phone calls, none of that. And he will put the sign. And he will go into his study. He will lie down for about 1 hour or so. Nothing. No word from him. Because there are some things we say in praise, but we must practice it. We say this. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Adore God. Come before his presence. He says in another place, let all the earth be silent. This is one of spiritual disciplines that we must learn to have as a habit. The habit of listening to God. Of quiet, noiseless, wordless adoration. There is a time for words. That's not, please hear Elijah right. I did not say when you go to God, you should never say anything. I did not say that. But I'm saying we do need to go into rehab for saying too much. Let's get that straight. It may not be so much in this congregation. But when I tune into some of these other, I can't hear what they're saying. And I'm learning it myself. If you notice, in the last 1 year, I speak much slowly. In the last 1 year, I'm learning to speak much more slowly. and to keep being on point and not have to go to too many places. Because you do have a teacher. That teacher is the Spirit of God. He teaches you. So I want to end by, I want to go through this. He said, do not be like them, but for your Father knows the things that you have need of. In this manner, how this is therefore how you should pray. It is not a prayer outline. It is a proper prayer. Our Father, let's all say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is a prayer that the early disciples learned to pray. They didn't use it as a prayer outline, saying the first thing you need to do is to acknowledge God as a Father in heaven. It is a prayer. You can pray it as many times as you want. I have been learning it. To learn to pray the way our Lord taught us. Let's go towards the end. Verse 19. And then we will round up. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 25. Let's read it together. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Let's stop there. The Lord says, look at these creatures. The birds of the air. You've seen them. You know them. If you watch, if you do any meaningful observation of birds. They do not have an agricultural minister. They do not have refrigerator. They do not plan for the winter. They don't do and none of that. It says your heavenly Father is in charge of their feeding. If he does that, Brother Tunde Adimiju, if God does that to the birds, what will he not do for you? Verse 28. I don't even think this congregation needs to worry about clothing. I don't think this should be a problem for any of you. Does anybody here have problems with clothing? That should not even be an issue, as far as I know. Okay. Do not worry about clothes. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his glory, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, Sister Wu, are you hearing me? Sister Tola Obasanya, are you hearing me? If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? See the other, you of little faith. Now, Sister Wura and Sister Tola, I didn't accuse you of having little faith. I'm reading the Bible. Okay. You know, say I singled you out. Your name just came to me. Is Brother Babs there? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, Brother Wiley? Or what shall we drink, Sister Biola? Or what shall we wear? The pagans, the non-believing world, run after these things, and your heavenly Father does what? I want us all of us to read it together. And your heavenly Father knows that what? You have need of them. You need them. My heavenly Father knows I need them. But, this is the second memory verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. One more time. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Where is Anike? Anike, can you unmute yourself? I want you to read that. I want you to say that verse 33. Is Anike on the line?
The kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these
things. Thank you. Where is Deshola? He went to the bathroom.
Okay. Sister Folake, read it for him then.
What verse, please?
33. It's on the screen.
Okay.
Oh, they can see it. Okay. All right. But six. Yeah.
So Matthew 6:33.
Yes.
And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern.
All right. Thank you. Well, tell Deshola that's his memory verse. You know, I'm going to see him before I leave. So when I come, he better be ready with that verse.
Okay. I'll tell him.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Grandma Ned, are you there? I want to finish by calling you on the line. Grandma Ned, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my sister. Can you please read again? I want us, let's go up one more time. Can you read verses 28, 29, 30, and 31, and then pray for us? Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, all the way to 31, and then pray for us.
And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? That's it.
Pray for us.
Run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Amen.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen.
So, Grandma Ned, pray for us. Close us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Father Lord, we thank you. We thank you once again for bringing us together. Father Lord, we thank you for keeping each and every one of us through the pandemic, through whatever illnesses we all have gone through, Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much. Father, we thank you for clothing us. We thank you for the food. We thank you for the shelter that we have over our head. Because, Father, you provide for us, whether we know it or not. You provide for us. Lord Jesus, help us to just look to you. Help us to praise you, Father God. Lord Jesus, help us to be not like the lilies of the field that is here today and tomorrow it's withered and gone. Father Lord, we thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We just thank you. Father Lord, I just bless you. I give you thanks. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all. May the Lord bless you and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Challenge for me.